You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Mo Brady. Developing a character based on a real person is a challenge for any actor, in part because whether or not the audience is familiar with that person, you want to make sure the role feels authentic to the people that actually know them. Such is the case with Tina, the Tina Turner musical, where much of the ensemble takes on people in the life of the titular musical icon. One of those actors is Jessica Rush, who plays the featured role of Rhonda Graham. Rhonda has been friends with Tina Turner for more than 50 years, starting as the road manager for her and Ike Turner and becoming her own manager, best friend, and confidant. So how does Rush, a veteran of six Broadway musicals over the last decade, take half a century of life and turn it into a small but featured character? Here's our conversation.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today. At LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi.
Hi, Mo.
Will you introduce yourself and tell us what neighborhood of New York City you live in?
Yes. My name is Jessica Rush, and I live in Inwood.
Okay. And your current job is?
I currently play Rhonda Graham in Tina, the Tina Turner musical.
Who is Rhonda Graham?
Rhonda Graham is a real person, A. She was a fan of Ike and Tina's in the 60s who, you know, would follow them and see them perform and eventually met them and became their manager, their road manager in the 60s. And through life has always been with Tina, is Tina's best friend and was actually maid of honor at her wedding to Erwin Bach, her current husband. She was the manager for Tina for a very, very long time. She's also a photographer. My first entrance is a little messy because we see her coming out of a room with Ike and he's zipping up his pants and says, well, she got the job. I would like to believe that when I'm, the look on my face is one of horror because that's what it's supposed to be. And then he introduces her as the manager, that he's decided this is her. She's going to be the road manager. And you see over the course of the show, me holding the baby, me saying to Tina, maybe we got to get out of here. You see a friendship form as well as still being the manager. And Rhonda is someone who is with Tina for the bulk of her career. I say in the show to her, you know, she says, why are you here? And I say, for you. And I say, when you go, I go.
My quick internet research is they have a very tight relationship.
They do.
At one point, they live together.
They did. They live together. They call each other sisters. I mean, they are. I read there's Tina and there's Tina, a love story, which is her most recent book. Mm-hmm. And also we had access to the interviews that Katori used to write our show. Mm-hmm. They literally, I hope it's okay that I'm telling this. They literally flew them across these files, mm-hmm. across from London, would not let anyone, you had to go to a space and listen with your headphones, and then they took them back. Like, they weren't going to trust them to anyone.
Interesting.
They're super...
Protected.
Yes, exactly. Because there's a lot of information there. But what I learned, and these are things I think that are common knowledge, but they did live together. Rhonda says that Tina's mother called her other daughter. So mm-hmm. they were super close. And I think that anytime you're in a situation that is dangerous or that is unhealthy, at least with women, what I've found is we bond together to try to get through it. You know, it's like, well, if we can't get out, we're going to do it together.
In a lot of ways, at least in the musical, the love story is between Tina and Rhonda. That's how I walked out of the theater.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you think about a love song, it's open arms.
Right.
It's you standing behind Adrian and putting your arms around her.
Yeah, that's so true.
Their relationship has lasted for over half a century. So then we get to distill all of this into a 2.5-hour bio musical.
Yes. yes.
Okay. What was your first moment with Tina the musical?
Well, I actually have an interesting story, which is...
Podcasts love interesting stories, so this is good.
When September of 2018, so a year ago this past September, my best friend was doing Aladdin in the West End, Michael James Scott, and I went to go see him. And Tina was running. Adrian was doing it. And I took myself to go. And I was sitting in the house watching. And when Francesca Jackson, who plays Rhonda in the West End Company, when she started singing Open Arms, I had this overwhelming sense. And I actually vocalized it to myself. I sort of whispered. I was like, that's my track. Now, the irony here is at the time I was doing Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
Right.
And I was playing Joyce Bogart, who was also a manager of Donna Summer. So here I am watching one manager playing another. Michael always says that when we went to the bar that night, when I met him, he's like, you walked in the door and the first thing you said was, I just saw my next gig. And funny story, they wouldn't see me for this show for months. Months. I guess there were some preconceived notions, or perhaps they were thinking they wanted to go a different direction. But I would ask my agent, you know, you have to get me in. I'm telling you, this is my job. Mm-hmm. I know it. And finally, in January, I was seen for it. And rest is history. I got the offer. And I was like, I told you. I told you it was my gig.
Was there any workshop or reading or anything beforehand?
Nope, nothing. Okay. We just jumped right in. Some people had been hired last fall, like a year ago. And we didn't even start rehearsals till the end of August. So I got that offer in February.
When you auditioned, when you finally got the opportunity to go in for Tina, you had seen the show and you had seen someone else's interpretation. So you get to have kind of the little breakdown mm-hmm. of what they're calling the character. You have whatever's in the sides, but you also have someone else's interpretation.
Right, right.
How did all of those come together to make what you presented in that audition?
I sort of had a very visceral feeling with regards to who she was. I had seen the show, like you said, and so I saw that there was a bond between the two of them, and there was a warmth there. I have to say, like, I trusted who I am as a person and what I've been told I bring to the table. And I think that I sort of just went with it. I love the song, you know, Open Arms. It's a song, I love singing it because it sits so nicely in my voice, to be honest. You know, it's not hard. I'm not trying to belt an E or an F or anything. You know, it's just a really lovely song. And I think that what was interesting was when I auditioned, I auditioned and I sang the song. And then the music director, Nick Skillbeck, said to me, he's like, can you do it again? He's like, and can you sing Around Yourself? And I was like, Around this? And he was like, yes, Around Yourself. He's like, do you know what I mean? I was like, I'm sorry, I actually don't.
No, I have no idea what you mean.
I'm so sorry. I said, I don't though. And he's like, well, don't sing at her, sing around yourself. And so that made a little more sense. But with that song, you're conveying so much the love that you're trying to convey to Tina and to help her know that she is not alone, because that is something she feels alone so often in our show, in our play. At the beginning, when her mother and father walk out on her, and she's left with her grandmother. You know, her mother doesn't want her. She leaves and takes her sister. And so little Anna Mae Bullock is alone quite often in her life. You know, it's tricky when business relationships become friendships, become family. And if there is a moment when it breaks or when someone needs to take the next step. You know, I think that was something with Rhonda, being able to see that Tina needs to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I've taken her as far as I can take her. And in this new phase of life, she needs to go elsewhere. And so I think that that's what she's trying to convey to her in the song. And I just sort of trusted the material that was there.
You're an artist. You Yes. take the breakdown, you take the notes you're getting in the audition and the callback, you take the secretive headphones stories that are being shared with you, flown over on a plane from London, you take your experience seeing someone else play the role in anything else kind of?
I mean, the biographies, you know, Tina's books, the I, Tina and the Tina love story. So that's what I've used to try to create as much of Rhonda as I can. You know, I mean, I don't get a lot of time to do that in our show. There are actually even more scenes that we cut because, well, things were cut and put back together in different ways because they were slightly redundant at times and our show was running long. So there are definitely some things that were lost. There were a couple, I still have a couple solid laughs, but I had a lot of funny moments, actually. Like, she's laying it out there and sticking it to him. And those are the things I took to put together who Rhonda is, a more clear picture. And it was so fruitful. I mean, there was so much information. Even in the beginning, when they would tour in the South, Rhonda had to travel separately because segregation and the time that they were living in. And different promoters would speak with her differently or try to pull the wool over her eyes or cheat them out of the take home that they were due. And
That's interesting. She's in a position of power, maybe because she's white, but she's also
a woman.
A woman.
Mm-hmm. In the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would have to protect Ike's feelings in terms of the promoters and if they were mad at him. Because if she let them know that Ike had upset them, then it would set him off. And then he's, you know, I mean, Ike was just so abusive and hot-headed. I mean, it was, I think everyone walked on eggshells, you know.
It sounds like there's a lot of information
there
that
then
you're distilling to very little.
Deciding what matters when I approach the role and what I wanted to take with me. For instance, I learned that, so Ronnie and Craig are Tina's sons, and then she had stepsons. And at one point, they were all living together with Rhonda. But this was when they were with the Iquettes, and they were traveling, and the boys had their girlfriends. And like, and I say boys, they were children. So you know how little boys will have like a crush or something.
Yeah.
So there were four boys, and then there were the three Iquettes and Rhonda. And Rhonda's boyfriend was Ronnie. Ronnie loved Rhonda. And so, for instance, in the open arms scene, Jardin Deshaun Milton, who plays Ronnie, he comes over to get the bag from me with as we're getting ready to send her off, you know, to England. And he and I have like this tiny little moment where he's like, thank you, Miss Rhonda. And it's just a really sweet moment that, you know, people can think of it as just a normal moment. But for me underneath, I know that, you know, he was my special one. He was my special boy. So that's a nice little human moment that we've been able to put inside.
I'm intrigued about working with an actor who has already played the role. So, you know, Adrienne Warren walks in to Tina. She's done an entire rehearsal process and performed it for a long time.
Yes.
And has probably ways that she is comfortable doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is really interesting because, you know, I've been a standby, I've been a cover, I've been, you know, and I know what it's like when you have to sort of fit in the box, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're an understudy and a standby, you want to try to bring your own stuff to it. But at the same time, you got to hit the marks and you got to be, you know, the blocking needs to be the same, the light, you know. You have to help the show not miss a beat, you know, and your fellow actors, you know, you have to be respectful of the fact that they have a show that they're doing. And so you want to make sure you're not changing the blocking and doing all the things. With Adrienne, it was really interesting because she actually had a lot of press and things she was doing when we first started rehearsal. So I rehearsed with Kayla Davion a lot.
Oh, interesting.
In the beginning, who was one of the understudies. Because in Keki, who was our two show, she was still in London. And there are changes to our show from London. So things are slightly different. Our scene, the main open arm scene hasn't changed. So I was rehearsing with Kayla, which that's interesting because
she hasn't seen Adrian do it. She doesn't know what she's doing. Phyllida, the process was very organic. Phyllida is the director, Phyllida Lloyd. The process was very organic. We started out by actioning. I didn't go to college, so I had never done this before, but you go through the script and on every line, and when I say line, I mean the sentences within the line. Like if there are three sentences that are creating one line of yours, you act, you put an action for every sentence that you say, to strike, to hit. And there's actually like a book, a dictionary of actions, a thesaurus, if you will. But we sat down and did that. And when Adrian was there, she did it with us. She didn't sit there. And I doubt she had memorized her actions from London, you know, but she sat there and went through and actioned her scenes again that were helpful. And that was helpful. But also blocking wise, Phyllida just sort of wanted to see what we did.
She said, here's the chair, here's the door.
Here you go.
Other door.
Yeah. And then you just did it. Now, that's lovely, but also then when Adrian then comes in...
She's doing it in her
own
way.
She's doing what she's been doing. Mm-hmm. At that point, it was early enough that I wasn't tied to anything. I mean, I was able to adjust and do what Adrian had in her body because I'm also not looking... I don't want Adrian to have to change it all in her body, her muscle memory. Like, she did the show for a year.
Yeah.
It was an interesting process because I had my ideas and my thoughts, and then we just sort of helped them to fit in where... the show was that Adrian had in her body.
Have you met Rhonda?
Funny enough, I have not, although I hear we've been in the same space. Rumor has it Rhonda was at opening, as was Terry Britton and Roger Davies. This is what we're hearing, but none of us met them, which I find really interesting. When I played Joyce Bogart last year, and Joyce...
In summer.
In summer, yes. And Joyce is still very much alive. And she... I got a call one day from my stage manager saying, JB's coming to the show and she wants to see you. And she... And I met, and now she like follows me on Instagram and we chat and we do things. So it was really interesting to find out that Rhonda had come and we didn't get to meet.
That's,
you know,
weird.
I really had
hoped, is busy.
But it was busy. It was super busy. So I do think, and definitely with Tina, you know, Tina had a stroke, and Tina, Irwin is very protective of Tina and her time and her space. And I think I have a feeling probably Roger and Terry and Rhonda were with Tina.
One last question.
Yeah.
When Tina, the Tina Turner musical, becomes part of the musical theater canon and high schools and middle schools are doing Tina Jr. and someone out there is playing Rhonda Graham, what's one thing you think they should know?
Well, first off, what the listeners should know is that you just made me cry saying that because I imagined it, because it's like, it's dream come true to get to originate something. And I would want them to know Rhonda is a warm, kind, fiercely protective, strong woman and friend. And I think that that is what's very important to know, because it's, women friends are special. And it's so often talked about that women backstab each other and are awful towards one another. And I think to see this friendship that has lasted this long and has endured, and one that has, is really a sister, is what's most important. I think that that, if you use that to sort of infuse your take on Rhonda and your performance, just remember that she's family.
Special thanks to Jessica Rush for sharing her stories with us this week. The Ensemblist was produced today by me, Mo Brady. The Ensemblist is proud to be a part of Broadway Podcast Network. If you can't get enough of theater conversations directed into your earbuds from us, there are more than 30 other great theater podcasts to listen to on the network. Check us all out at bpn.fm. Also, The Ensemblist has joined the world of Patreon. You can support the work we do here at The Ensemblist for as little as $5 a month. Check us out at patreon.com/theensemblist. If you feel like supporting The Ensemblist, but don't have $5 a month to spare, you can help us by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow The Ensemblist on Instagram to see the latest posts from our website, where we share the stories of talented artists working in theater ensembles on Broadway and across the country. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There is enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.